Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome once again to History Dweebs. I'm Tim, and today's topic is the torso murderess, Winnie Ruth Judd, who murdered two of her roommates back in 1931, and then she chopped them all up and put them in a travel trunk.
You gave away the ending.
Well, it's not a mystery. But anyway, welcome to History Dweebs, and as I'm being interrupted...
I haven't read none of this stuff before, so...
we'll get into that story. It's a fascinating story. But before we do, let me introduce my very rude colleagues, the very lovely, talented, incomparable Brandy. How are you today, Brandy?
I'm good, Timmy. How are you?
Fine. Did you have a good weekend?
It was all right. I got a sick baby, so...
Got to
take care of him.
Noah's sick?
Noah is sick. He got it from dancing on the floor at Sam's Club.
I saw that. You posted a video of Noah breakdancing.
Yeah.
And he's very talented. He should be on Dancing with the...
Oh, the boy can bust a move.
When the spirit moves you.
Yeah.
And I'm also joined by the very talented, lovely, distinguished, and a bit portly... Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Waters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman and the most dangerous man in podcasting. How are you today, Colonel?
Well, Jimmy, I was...
Besides fat, how are you?
I'm not really happy about the portly thing.
It's just descriptive. You know, I'm trying to paint a mental picture
of
for
that, Jimmy.
Well, yeah, I know it's a... You know, you have some
glandular issue.
Yeah. Yeah, you also have a jelly donut issue there, Colonel. But you are putting on a little weight.
Wow.
It's the winter time, Timmy.
Well, it's November. I mean, what do we have?
We're not hibernating.
what the hell is February going to look like?
Procrastinate now. But I put on a couple pounds. For the welfare of the Colonel, about 2 years ago, the colonel decided...
We're already going
to put
off
the
topic.
Cigarettes now.
Okay.
And he's put on a couple pounds since. Maybe, I don't know, 15, 20.
30.
Well, you
put on about 20 pounds since I...
Well, you say you put the cigarettes down, but you still smoke electronic cigarettes, Colonel. And you're like... You don't... Every time I look at you, you
do
got
we,
that...
Do you want me to get into your peccadillos here, Timmy? Because we could
I'm
go on for a couple hours.
Man, you know? Don't say you'd quit smoking. You quit smoking regular cigarettes.
He's quit smoking. No, he's quit smoking. It's been a big deal, and I'm very proud of him for
well,
that.
Well, I'm proud of him,
Thank
too.
You,
but he's sucking on that metal thing all
well,
day long.
That's a personal thing for him. You let him... It's better than other things.
It's better than other things.
All right. Well, we're glad that you stopped smoking, Colonel, even though you're now... Now I have weight issues, but that's okay.
I do not have weight issues. I can still wear the same clothes I wore before. They're just just a little snug on me.
Yeah.
But I went up a shoe size.
You'd fit right in at Walmart when you go to Walmart.
Wow.
That's a...
Timmy,
you know what,
mean.
Timmy, I got a shout out I got to do real quick here.
Okay.
And it's to Janet.
Who? Okay.
Janet.
Okay.
Janet L.
Janet L.
Hey, just a lovely little lass from Ireland.
What? Don't do that.
Oh, that is the worst. That's the worst Irish accent I've ever heard.
And you know me, Ma was from Ireland, Timmy.
I know.
You
She's
know,
dead.
She, your mother is dead.
God rest her soul. But Janet, she made a great suggestion for the show. and we're gonna try to do that one.
Yeah. Do you have any other shout out? Thank you, Janet. Yeah, it was a great suggestion. And we're gonna try to get it in. It's a creepy story.
I got no shout outs over here.
You have no shout outs?
You gave me none.
Ain't nobody excited to hear from you.
Yeah, they want to hear from the Colonel.
And of course, you know, we got Celine.
Yeah.
You know, we always give Celine and Lady Beverly. Lady Beverly, I follow her on Facebook. She healed up real good. She out. What a beautiful family. The woman got beautiful family.
All up in her business.
Yeah,
Beverly, we're glad you're feeling better.
Beverly checks in with me, tell me how she's doing once in a while. And of course, you know, I can't do a show. I basically. Now, Tim, you know I don't get paid for this. You know,
yeah, I know. You remind me of that for this. Every day.
I don't have a personal assistant.
Yeah, you're not getting
I do.
I didn't even get a sandwich the other day, but I do this show for one reason, Timmy.
What's that, Colonel? One reason.
That is for Dottie Scott.
She is a loyal fan. She loves to hear.
I do this show for Dottie Scott.
You I would do Brandy. Everything for
you
Dottie.
You and Brandy. Mm-hmm. She loves you and Brandy.
We keep Timmy off the ledge.
We try to take care of Timmy. I have I actually, when the neighbor was giving Dottie some trouble, I tossed one neighbor out the window for Dottie.
Well, you're a good neighbor.
Well, it was only
you're
from
like
the
State
third
Farm.
Floor. I mean,
it is like
State
not
Farm. A big deal. Of course, Casey, our Republican friend.
Yeah.
But you know what? For Republican Casey, not so bad.
Yeah, he's a good guy. Casey's a good guy. And we have a lot of Republican listeners, a lot of Democratic listeners. We like all people.
We're
bipartisan.
We are bipartisan.
Well, we embrace pretty much everybody here. We like to be inclusive. Now, I'm not all that keen on people from Finland, though.
No, we like people from Finland. We have listeners in Finland. What's wrong with you?
What is wrong with you?
Where's Amsterdam at?
It's Holland, but we like them, too.
Okay, Holland. We like those people, but Amsterdam, it's the den of sin now. I mean, it's just...
You can smoke pot there.
I know. That's
Timmy's second home.
It is Timmy's second home.
I know, but I've been there, and I've been to the red light district. It's pretty cool.
You cannot find Jesus in Amsterdam.
Well, you can, but they sell him on a little candle.
But those are my shout-outs. We got a new sponsor this week.
Oh, why am I not surprised? Who's our sponsor, Colonel?
Timmy, you know, every once in a while you get stuck in a tight spot. Well, you don't drive, so you wouldn't notice.
Right.
But we got Camel Towing.
Okay.
Okay. Camel Towing.
Nice.
And how
long did it take you to come up with that?
Fast service, and their motto is, we'll pull them out. If your car gets stuck, I believe they're talking about cars. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But it's Camel Towing, fast service, reliable service, and we'll pull them out of the tight spots.
Do you wear cologne today?
I wear cologne every day.
No, you don't. Are you wearing cologne today?
No, I'm wearing my...
You got the Old Spice.
I got my high karate on, yeah.
I'm smelling the high karate over
I got my
here.
High karate on, you know, the
or
Colonel.
Panther piss.
Okay, well, I had a pretty interesting weekend, pretty exciting weekend. As you know, I listen to the Thinking Sideways podcast. It's a great podcast I've been listening to for about a year.
I don't even listen to our own podcast.
I know you don't, but and I don't blame you for not listening to our podcast.
But I am going to check out these Thinking Sideways people. Because they sound pretty interesting.
They are. They do mysteries, and they're really good, and I've been listening to them for about a year. But anyway, they have a huge following, and I went on their Facebook page the other day, and, you know, we have our loyal listeners, and we were very happy about that. But we wanted to look at, you know, grow it. We want to grow, and we want to have more listeners than we have. So I put out a question out on their page on, you know, how maybe we might be able to and market our program better in better ways. And
fast forward.
And
so you went begging, is what you
yeah,
did.
Basically. And they were very gracious. Oh, no, they were very gracious, and they allowed us to post our link to their page. And we got some really nice comments. And overnight,
so you're saying we're nothing without them, is
yeah, basically. We tripled our downloads overnight. So I want to give a shout out to some folks who listened on that page, and I'm going to go through them really quickly because there's a lot of names, but we really do appreciate you listening, and we hope you continue to listen. So here are the shout outs: Shannon, Courtney, Casey, Kyle, Jane.
That's Cassie. What the hell are you?
Cassie, I'm sorry. Kyle, Jane, Jessica, Lucille, Brittany Nicole, Tara, Katrina, Sherry J, Terry O, Nikki, Charlie, Allie, and Maxine. Thank you all, and we appreciate you listening. And if I left anyone out, I'm terribly sorry. But special thanks, though, to the Thinking Sideways team, Joe, Devin, and Steve, for allowing us to post our link on their page. It's really very gracious of them, and we appreciate it.
Well, I'm going to check their podcast out. They're on really iTunes, good. Too?
On iTunes. You can get them on iTunes. You can get them on you can get them on Facebook, Stitcher. It's Thinking Sideways, the podcast. They're excellent. Check them out. Okay, so with that being said, Brandy, do you have any channels?
No.
Okay, let's get into Winnie Ruth Judd, or better known as the Torso Murderess. Now, we usually do serial killers, and this lady only killed two people, so...
She was a spree killer.
Yeah, she was a spree killer, but it's an interesting story, so nevertheless, let's talk about her. Winnie...
We didn't get talking.
Ruth Judd, thank you very much, was born...
No relation to... Winona.
Yeah,
Winona.
My mom wanted to know if she
was... Or Naomi.
Naomi or Winona or Ashley. Yeah, no relation.
How do you know that?
Well, we don't. I'm assuming there's no relation.
So you're just blurting stuff out.
Seriously?
Here.
Yeah, but like we normally do.
It's killing me.
Okay.
I got lotion on my hands. That's all I got.
Why do you have lotion on your hands?
Because you get the high karate, the jade, whatever it is that you got.
It's panther piss. 100% of the time, it works 85% of the time.
Okay, so.
I guess that's just my pheromones you're giving off. I'm giving off that devil.
It's not.
And quit giving me that sideways glance like
that's how he reels the babes in.
I would never do that.
What is the, you went through your Irish accent, what is that Irish saying that we always hear?
I mean, you'd be in heaven a half an hour before Brandy knows you're dead.
Yeah, that's the one.
Is it a wide Irish thing? Yeah, it's everywhere.
Sweeping the country.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
Like the plague.
Like the plague. Winnie Ruth Judd was born Winnie Ruth McKinnell on January 29th, 1905. Her father was a Methodist minister, and I have in my notes here that his... And their names were Reverend and Mrs. McKinnell. So,
obviously.
Stellar research, as always.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're going to have to get our interns to step up their game.
Today. Yeah. Well, yeah, I wish we had an intern. Okay. She was born during a blizzard in Darlington, Indiana. I'm not sure where Darlington is. Do you know where Darlington is?
In Indiana.
Well, I know it's in Indiana.
It's right between Ohio and Illinois.
All right. So, you don't know either. She was raised in a Free Methodist household. I don't know what that means.
A Free Methodist household?
Yeah, she
free range chickens.
She went to she went to services at a Pentecostal church.
Now I can tell you, Timmy,
where worship and manifestations were routine.
They are not free range.
As a practicing Methodist.
Yeah.
And a Free Methodist obviously is just an offshoot of Methodist.
What does that mean, a Free Methodist? You're not a slave, or what does it mean?
No, a Free Methodist is, they're less Calvinistic as the Methodist Church.
Okay.
They are a little more, and it's strange that she would jump from that to a Pentecostal, because a Free Methodist Church, I mean a Methodist Church, and I am a Methodist, they got damn near almost no rules.
Right.
You know, I mean, you got the Ten Commandments, but I think they only really recognize they're about
negotiable.
Six of them.
They're negotiable.
Yeah, it's the. Anyway, to go from that to a Pentecostal is it's
extreme.
It's strange.
Extreme. Well, even as a child, she wanted to have a baby. When she was 7 years old, she told all her school friends that her mother was going to have a baby. All the neighbors came out to congratulate Mrs. McKinnell. Who had no idea. And of course, there was no baby. As a teenager, she accused her boyfriend of getting her pregnant. Although she never had sex with him, or with any boy, for that matter. So, Colonel, I know you are a big proponent of fornication.
I'm not against fornication. But I'm for safe fornication.
Yeah. Well, apparently she was claiming that she was fornicating with her boyfriend, and that he had impregnated her, when apparently that wasn't true.
And that's problematic. And I noticed, you know, I don't know if this happens to you, Timmy, but when you reach the level of notoriety and fame
celebrity.
That the colonel, celebrity that the colonel has reached, I mean, you're getting phone call all the time. You know, the colonel got me pregnant in Hawaii. Yeah. The colonel, you know, I'm your long lost son. I'm the colonel.
Your love child.
Yeah, I mean, that happens to you all the time. You get used to that.
Well, her parents took her to the doctor based on this claim, and the doctor said that she was not pregnant. And the doctor said, in fact, she had never had sex. So
she was like the Virgin Mary.
She kind of shut down her claims. I don't know how
Except
old she was.
Baby
she was a
Jesus.
Teenager. It doesn't say what age, but eventually she ran away from home. And when she came back, she said she had been kidnapped and had given birth.
There you go.
But there was no baby to be found. So she was a little odd, to say the least. Nothing really strange, just, you know, she just seems to have this.
All of this is really strange.
It's not really strange when you think, come right down to it, because the colonel does the research on these people.
Well, I know you do, colonel.
And,
really?
And Miss Judd, if you've seen any pictures of her, it's no coincidence that the woman wanted to have a baby, but was still a virgin.
Actually, I didn't think she was that bad looking.
Oh, she looked like a mud fence to me.
Okay. So, well, I think it was just, 1930s. Everyone was ugly back in the day. These lies and actions as a teenager could have resulted from just immaturity and selfishness. But it also showed that she was emotionally unbalanced. It seems that she had a nervous condition as a child and as a woman. So she was taking the Xanax, I'm sure.
I don't believe they came out with the Xanax till 1970-something.
Well, I don't know what she was taking then, but today she would be taking the Xanax. And I know you're a proponent of the Xanax.
The colonel is a, I believe they should legalize Xanax.
You should legalize Xanax?
Yeah, I believe
it should be a daily supplement.
For medicinal purposes.
Like vitamins.
Yeah, just like vitamins. Okay, so anyway, she went to work, when she got a little bit older, she went to work at the Indiana State Hospital as an attendant. She did well there, and she started receiving more and more responsibility. And that's when she met her husband, Dr. William C. Judd. He was a veteran of World War I and had become addicted to morphine due to his war wounds. And he was never able to hold a job very long, but, he did find a way of getting the morphine.
So they were that couple.
Well, I'm not opposed to morphine addiction, but...
I'm opposed to high on a morphine addict.
Well, apparently he had a hard time getting a job because of his morphine addiction, but he was a doctor, so he was somewhat accomplished.
But, I mean, they were that couple. You know that couple that's just kind of... not right. You don't really want to do things with them, but they're sort of fun.
Yeah.
But they're
fun if there's 20 other couples around and you don't get locked in the room with them.
Right. That couple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you get to go home and talk about it.
She's a liar and he's.
There was an age difference between them. He was 26 years older than her. She was 17 and he was 43.
Who's that sound like?
Well, I'm not going to cast aspersions on that.
I suppose you wouldn't, Mr. Glasshouse.
Right. Anyway, they went to New Orleans for their honeymoon down in New Orleans. And I wonder if they went to Marie Laveau's grave while they were there. I bet they did. They probably went to the French Quarter and drank and showed their titties.
What the hell wrong with you today?
Did they show their titties back in the 40s? I never seen 40 titties.
No, they didn't start doing that till 1972.
Oh, okay.
72?
1972.
August 15th. Right. Yeah.
Now, here, let me tell you a quick story, Timmy. Now,
no.
It just involves New Orleans and titties. You brought this up now.
It's my fault. All of a sudden, it's my fault.
I'm about 11 years old.
Yeah.
I got a shirt on. I'm in New Orleans.
You're in New Orleans at 11 years old.
With your dead
mother.
My mama and my stepdaddy. And
his mom got the cancer.
Now, they're small town people. Okay? They're small town people. And they don't really know New Orleans and the French Quarter.
World.
So we're walking
you
down
through
the
You were a worldly 11-year-old, of course.
Well, this has caused the colonel some problems ever since.
Yeah, this has caused the colonel problems.
So they got this bar, and they got the barkers there, you know, come on in here, come on in here, come on in. And they got this lady on the swing coming out of about the second floor. She's on a swing that comes out into the street.
Right.
And she ain't got no top on. And she got big old juggles just bobbing around. And I stopped because I'm mesmerized. I guess I was about 12, 13 years old. When the hormones start checking in.
What is this story doing?
And I'm mesmerized by these things. Yeah. And I got my name on the back of my shirt. And I hear the barker.
Is that the colonel on the back of your shirt?
Well, at that time it just said Chuck.
Okay.
And I hear this true story now. And I hear the barker say.
Because it's fascinating so far.
Kind of on the edge of my seat.
He's saying, Chuck, I think you should move along, son. Well, what I did not know, Timmy, and what me and my therapist have had many, many discussions, was that was not, in fact, a woman. It was a man.
Oh.
Because in New Orleans, women cannot walk around topless.
Oh.
But the men, the female impersonators that have had the injections, can walk around topless.
Oh.
So when you see an attractive woman with a set of boobies hanging out in the street, and you're 13, 12 years old,
13, 12.
Or whatever you are.
What the?
All of a sudden you've fallen in love with a man with fake boobs, and that causes some psychological trauma for the child, and he has to see a therapist to get himself.
So it wasn't, they had more than just boobs, is what you're saying.
They had the junk too. There was Caitlyn Jenner, is what it was.
Tallywhacker.
They had the tallywhacker, they had the boobs. It was not. It was just something that the 13-year-old mind could not process.
Maybe that was a, you know, was that, is that where you kind of, did that define your sexuality at an early age?
It confused me, Timmy. It confused me.
Well, I can understand that. Now City of Sin, where women are women and so are the men.
Now he has proclivities.
Okay. Back to the Judd family. They went to New Orleans for their honeymoon, and maybe or maybe not, we're not sure if they saw the tranny on the swing, but then they moved to Mexico for a while, so he could be a doctor. They couldn't practice. They frowned on him practicing as an active morphine addict in the U.S. So he moved to Mexico, and he started working for a large mining company as a doctor. She left her little small town, Indiana, a religious family, and they lived on a small salary where they did some traveling, saved some money, but most of the money went to her husband's drug and alcohol addiction. Apparently, he liked the drink as well.
He liked a nip now and then.
Yeah, to go along with his morphine. So it was kind of an unstable marriage, to say the least.
Oh, thank you.
Her marriage in 1924 to Dr. Judd didn't turn out to be as wonderful as she had hoped due to his addiction and his inability to settle down and hold a job. And he didn't really want to have kids. Now, again, there's this 26-year age difference. You know, he's getting up in years now. And
yeah, he's about 45 years old.
Yeah.
He's a morphine addict and an alcoholic. So you know he got some erectile dysfunction problems.
Well, I don't know that.
The morphine will do that. That's the first thing it attacks.
But she begged him. And at the day, there was no Viagra or Cialis around.
They had the Spanish fly.
But that was for the woman, right?
No, that's true.
They didn't, and they didn't take sit in the backyard in their separate bathtubs back in the day.
Well, everybody does that.
Anyway, she would beg him to let her have a baby, but he would always insist that they use birth control. Now, I don't know what, I guess he used condoms in the 30s, right?
I believe it
was pull and pray.
Back in the 30s, they was using leather. They were using leather, little thin leather.
Well, like a sock?
Covers, yeah.
Like a sock?
A pecker sock.
Yeah, pecker sock. Okay. I don't remember ever reading that, but I'll go with that. So she soon quit birth control socks. She must have been taking something. Did they have diaphragms in the 30s? I don't know. We need to do better research on this show.
Why we gotta get so far into the sex life, you freak? I just wanted to know about the murder.
Well, anyway, she was upset that he was not providing her with a child, okay? So she was unable to manipulate him to get him to give her a child. And But she was, other than that, they had an okay marriage. I mean, he wasn't physically or emotionally abusive to her. He just could not get her pregnant.
Take an erection.
But she did get pregnant. Good news. But he insisted on performing an abortion. So she did not like that at all, but she went along with it. You know, here's her lifelong dream to have a child. And then her husband thought that they could not afford a child, so he performed an abortion on her. This left her in a deep depression.
Did he do it in the back alley?
I don't know. It was in Mexico. I mean, I don't know. She went into depression, but then she got pregnant a second time, but she miscarried. So these were pretty traumatic events to her. It caused her a lot of emotional pain. And it really changed her feelings toward her husband, Dr. Judd. And she started to harbor deep bitterness toward him. This, in turn, intensified his addiction with his own demons and selfishness. Despite the anger, she still loved him, but she tried to get him off the narcotics. He lost his job in Mexico, and then they came back to Texas. He used all his money, their money, and sold his car in order to buy drugs again. So he's really in this cycle of drug abuse. This time she had a nervous breakdown. Remember I mentioned earlier she was a nervous child and a nervous... they used to call them nervous breakdowns. I don't think they call them that anymore, but...
They call it exhaustion now, too.
Yeah, but back in the day it was...
The vapors.
The vapors.
Yeah, got the vapors. So she had a nervous breakdown and she left him. So she went to live in Arizona, where she got a job, and she brought Dr. Judd, her husband, from El Paso to Phoenix, and had him committed to a veterans hospital to get him some help. Remember, I said he was in the First World War, and that's where he was injured. And
he probably had the shell shock.
Well, and he got addicted to the pain medications from the war, so not entirely his fault. Her first job was as a governess to a wealthy family. In Arizona, and then she meets a young fella named Happy Jack, and Brandy is going to tell us what happens next.
So Happy Jack evidently moved in next door to her.
Okay.
And he was part owner of one of the largest lumber yards in Phoenix.
Wonder why he was so happy. Is that why he was happy?
I don't know. He was a mover and a shaker.
Didn't Who do a song called Happy Jack?
I don't know.
I believe they did Google that for me, intern.
Write that down. He was a mover and a shaker. Wow. He was influential. He was a successful businessman. He had a lot of charm. He liked to party.
Oh, he was big with the ladies. He was like the colonel.
He was a ladies' man.
The lady man.
He was a ladies' man.
Lady.
And he was good old boy par excellence.
Did he have a big wang?
I don't know.
Because you know the lady man had a big wang.
He did have a big wang. He was also married.
Oh,
Happy Jack had a bride.
How can Happy Jack be happy? That's an oxymoron.
Happy Jack had a bride. Well, evidently Happy Jack was getting tail all over town. That's why he was a happy guy.
Yeah, well, he sounds like quite the playboy.
His wealth made him very attractive.
Well, he had a big wang.
And he had a big wang.
Well, that does. And
he liked the ladies.
He likes the ladies. Yeah. And the ladies liked him, apparently.
Well, and the ladies like him. Cool and Jack. There was a song called Happy Jack. The Who did Happy
Thank
Jack.
God.
Thank you for clarifying that, Colonel.
Yes, I was worried.
Yeah. So what else about Happy Jack?
So she was lonely and overwrought, but still beautiful.
Yeah. See, I said she was beautiful. Colonel said she wasn't. I thought she was kind of attractive. We'll let our listeners decide.
Well, I'm just wondering logically how you want to have a baby. You're 17 years old. You say you're pregnant. You're still a virgin. Now, back in the day, if you was pretty... 17 years old, I mean, that was like being 30 now. Man, they'd be banging you like a drum. I mean, but she couldn't get laid.
Well, maybe she was getting banged. She just wasn't getting pregnant.
She was a virgin.
Well,
the doctor said she was a virgin.
You can't have, babe. You shouldn't be having fornication.
Yeah, don't fornicate.
Don't fornicate. Yeah. Although, she kind of gave that up because she started, little Miss Ruth started having an affair with Happy Jack.
With Happy Jack, despite the fact that she's married to Dr. Judd, and he's married
to Mrs. Happy Jack.
But he introduced her to Mr. Happy.
So, yeah, his wang.
His wang.
Mr. Happy.
So, she's torn between her love for her husband and her religious values.
You know what? I don't think she was.
I don't think she was. She wasn't torn that hard.
I think she saw Happy Jack, so said, I want some of that wang.
She was...
You got some more wang all of a sudden.
The ladies' man.
She was attracted to the dashing Happy Jack Holleran and his money and power.
You know, you have never been described as dashing, Colonel.
Well, I've been dashing once or twice, but...
Like away from police. That's away what you've from been doing. Police, right. Yeah. So when he got a better job as a medical secretary at the private Grunow?
It doesn't matter.
Okay, clinic.
But is there, are we calling her Winnie or Ruth?
I don't know. They're both on here.
Okay,
so
if we say Winnie or Ruth, it's the same person.
It's interchangeable.
Winnie Ruth. Yeah. All right.
So like Hawk and the Colonel.
Yes. So she goes to the private Grunow clinic where she meets Agnes Ann Leroy and Hedvig Sammy Samuelson.
Now that sounds like somebody from a Mel Brooks movie.
Hedvig?
Okay. Let me say what. I would never date anyone named Agnes. I don't care. It reminds me of Agnes Moorehead from Bewitched. Nice lady. But I would. She's old. And what's the other lady's name?
Hedvig.
Now, Miss Moorhead.
That sounds like a Nazi to me.
Hedvig.
But Miss Moorhead, I got to say, was a beauty in her prime.
She may have been, but Agnes, I don't know. Now, Bewitched, what was her name?
I don't know.
Elizabeth Montgomery.
Okay.
Yeah, she's hot.
So they all became.
Not now. I think she's dead.
I believe she is.
Sure. So they all became, they became best friends.
Intern check.
Okay, so Agnes, Hedwig.
Agnes, Annie. Now, she went by Annie.
Oh,
because
okay.
Who goes by Agnes,
okay.
Honestly?
All right, well, I can go. Okay, so Annie, Hedwig.
Hedvig,
and Ruth, Winnie Ruth were
Winnie
friends.
Winnie Ruth, okay, yes, they're friends. All friends.
All friends.
Annie was 32 years old, twice divorced woman from Oregon.
And
she was the x-ray technician. She had the decency to get divorced.
Yeah, but you know, back in the day.
It was scandalous, but she still had the decency to do it.
She was divorced twice.
Well, she was the x-ray technician. And Sammy was 24. She was from North Dakota and had been a teacher. But now she had tuberculosis, which made her...
TB. She had the consumption.
She had the consumption, which made her very attractive.
Miss Montgomery, just for the record, the intern just got back to me. She died at the age of 62 of the colorectal cancer.
Elizabeth Montgomery? I'm sorry.
I thought she had the breast cancer.
So she had the bloody stool.
Apparently.
Jesus Christ.
Okay. So, great. All right, let's get back to...
So
she had Richard Ramirez disease.
Okay. So Annie...
Sammy's has
got
the consumption.
Okay.
She has tuberculosis, so which makes her very attractive to everyone.
Well, I don't know about
clearly.
That.
Clearly.
Yeah.
Well, but
she's 24 of us, so she's probably hot.
Well, because it's possible that Annie and Sammy were bisexual and had a relationship.
Why the two divorces. They were
maybe.
Yeah, they were cleaning carpet.
But
you know what?
Do you really want to hitch your bisexual wagon to a girl with tuberculosis?
She ain't so ugly.
It might be a short relationship.
She ain't so ugly to me now, Timmy.
Do what?
She ain't so ugly to me.
It's getting a little bit more intriguing, isn't it?
Yeah, she's getting a little more attractive.
So it's possible, let's see. They were living together. Annie and Sammy lived together in a small studio duplex.
Okay, so they were apartment. Kind of, you know, they were living.
There was no wang.
No wang there.
They were in no wang zone.
And no wang zone. They were doing, you know, they were cleaning carpet. And
yes.
This was back in the day when you just didn't do that. So they had to kind of probably live in the closet.
They lived on the down low. Yeah. So Ruth moved in with the women for a short time. Winnie Ruth, she moved in with them for a short time. But... Living so close together with these ladies that are together caused problems, so Winnie Ruth moved back out.
So she discovered that their little secret.
I don't know, or, you know, Sammy coughed on her. I mean, it's hard to tell. Kept her up at night with her tuberculosis.
I don't think I'd live with. I think
well, you know the thing about the consumption, Timmy?
What's that?
Is it makes you, it gives you the night sweats, first of all.
Does it?
And then you're coughing up the blood all the time.
So now all of a sudden Dr. Quinn's an expert on friggin' TB.
Then you lose your... Well, my stepdaddy had the consumption. He was up here for 18 months.
Of course
months. He cured.
God, not
but
again.
But he didn't die.
You told us that story during Edgar Allan Poe.
Yeah,
okay,
I'm just telling you.
But he's not dead.
No,
everybody
but
else
you start losing weight.
Yeah.
I mean, you start losing weight. And
well,
where do women lose weight first?
Their ass.
Their boobs.
Oh.
Ain't nobody want a woman who every day the boobs is a little bit smaller.
Okay. So Halloran, when they were all living together, would bring along his married friends. So all of a sudden,
so Happy Jack is in the picture.
So all of a sudden, these people became like concubines, and Happy Jack's just bringing along all his buddies.
So Happy Jack is getting in a lot.
Happy Jack's getting some action, and so are all his married friends. He'd party. They'd party.
Oh, it's Sodom and Gomorrah down there.
Now, was this around Prohibition?
30s, yeah.
Okay, so booze was a big deal. Wasn't like now when you're just showing up with some Bartles and James.
Shit, I'd invite Dr. Judd. He was bringing morphine.
Well,
Bartles and James.
Bartles and James.
How you like that?
Nice. That was a nice.
Bringing some Zima.
Are the Carpenters playing at this party?
Could be. It was the 30s. You don't know.
Some booming song. Yeah.
It's not like the guy just showed up with Zima.
Yeah,
he was bringing some. He was bringing
the top shelf stuff.
That's top shelf shit. That's right. So anyway, so the men would give them gifts and money, and then they, of course, would probably have sex.
Well, we don't know that. You are making assumptions. When you assume you make an ass out of you and me.
Mainly you.
Well, I have the question. Maybe they were paying, maybe they were bringing them wine and money to watch them, you know.
I don't know.
Kind of do
it
the dirty.
Say.
Colonel, you've been known to visit those websites where women enjoy pleasure each other.
I've been known to visit houses where women play. Go
however,
ahead.
Nobody can stay away from Happy Jack.
No.
He got that wang.
He got the magic wang.
So all of a sudden, Annie and Sammy decide to abandon their relationship.
So they're giving up lesbianism to get that
they're
wang.
They're just in Happy Jack.
See, now, you know what he is?
Happy.
You know what Happy Jack is?
That's why turning people left and right.
He's the same thing as the Colonel. You know what we're known as? We're flippers.
Dipshits.
We're flippers. We could take...
No. We have to call you Happy Colonel.
Happy Colonel.
It doesn't
if
have
If you
the
want
same.
Me to flip somebody...
It doesn't flow.
Okay, so Happy Jack gets involved
Happy Jack.
With
and
her,
Happy
her
Jack
roommates.
Would go over to their house when Ruth wasn't there.
Oh, that's just not right.
No, Happy Jack was...
Well, it's not right on their part either.
No.
That's a so Ruth is her friend.
Winnie Ruth gets hers. Don't you worry about that.
Okay.
So anyway, it is alleged that all three of them were having an affair. And
together?
With Halloran. And that Annie, no, it doesn't say together.
Like a foursome?
And Annie liked to rile Winnie Ruth up with accounts of her own sexual adventures with the Studley businessman.
See, that's where you make a mistake. You can have an affair, just don't throw it in their face. And
oh,
that's
my goodness.
Particularly playing on the fact that Judd was in love with Halloran and Annie was just using him for money.
Well,
of the interns just brought me a picture of Happy Jack. He looked like Rudy Giuliani a little bit.
He does. He's a handsome fella.
He's a dashing old man.
Well, I hope Happy Jack had a big wang because I'm over whatever that is. He's
okay,
got
so on. Let me get back to this. So, not only is he banging all three of them.
So Annie would rile up Winnie Ruth, who was supposed to be the you have the primary relationship.
Right.
That, which should be his marriage, but evidently was not.
And she should be in her marriage. Which
sure. But the primary relationship, the reason they're all there is because...
She introduced them to Happy
Jack. Yeah, Winnie Ruth introduced them all to Happy Jack. So then Annie starts getting some wang, and she's telling her, and she gets Ruth all riled up and telling him...
Well, Ruth probably feels a bit... vulnerable because she's married. She's still officially married to Dr. Judd, and so she couldn't. You know, she's like in between two relationships. So she probably felt vulnerable that, and she was. You know, she was married to Dr. Judd, so she. You know, she probably felt like. You know, if she wasn't careful, Happy Jack could get away, and she missed that.
And then
wang.
She'd have nothing.
She'd miss
she'd
that.
She'd have
wang.
No wang.
She'd have no wang. Well, she'd have her husband's wang, but
well,
apparently
but
he's all
that wang
up.
Can't do much because it's all
And they didn't have the hustler stores back then.
They
devil.
Did not. No. Now wait, Dr. Judd came back to Phoenix.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Well, he wandered back. Let's face it. He's
heard that there are some good drugs there.
He
found his
back.
Way back.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he moved back in with Ruth.
Well, that would put a cramp in your style.
Well, but you know. All the partying got him drinking despite her pleas.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
To her friends to stop including Dr. Judd in their parties, which I don't blame her. Who wants to party with your husband?
Especially if you're banging Happy Jack.
Happy Jack? What if... Yeah, Happy Jack's so magnetic. What if Dr. Judd gets in on it?
This could have been. Yeah.
That could have happened.
It could have happened.
Yeah.
I mean, he's magnetic. Maybe. This guy's a magnetic guy.
Because Dr. Judd didn't mind the occasional injection.
Evidently. Well, he was probably so doped up it didn't matter. He just, passed out.
They probably just.
Yeah, so, I mean.
Taking pictures of him.
Yeah, Happy Jack's, I don't know. His Wang got around.
Mm hmm.
Well, so.
It's a Wonder Wang.
It's a wandering Wonder Wang.
It's a wandering Wonder Wang.
The husband was like, man, this morphine's starting to make my butt hurt all the time.
Right. He should stop taking it then.
Okay.
So ahead. Dr. Judd got a job in California and he left again. So I don't know. It doesn't say if he was practicing medicine or whatever.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Got a job. He's gone again. So on one night in the fall of 1931, Ruth, and you would think she'd know better at this point, but Ruth introduced Holland to another nurse named Lucy Moore.
Don't tell me she got some of that wine.
Well, so there was a hunting trip planned. They had a hunting trip planned, and Lucy Moore was from that area.
Okay.
So Jack and Ruth picked up Lucy, and Jack... And you gotta hand it to Jack, because he's ballsy. He's got
Happy
it all
Jack.
Out there.
Happy Jack.
He's Happy Jack. He's like, we're gonna stop. So they pick up Lucy, and then Jack wants to make a stop at Annie and Sammy's duplex.
Okay, so they already got one. He's already got two women in the car, and Annie wants to go pick up the two lesbians.
He wants to make a stop.
Okay.
Who knows what for?
Okay.
It's
a party.
Ruth had turned down their invitation to party earlier by telling them that she had work to do.
Okay, so she was trying to cut them out of this trip.
Yeah, so now Happy Jack's going, whoa, we're going to stop by and see what's going on. She was embarrassed and she didn't go in, but Jack went in and told them that Ruth was in the car. Because evidently not as only is he happy, he's kind of a peckerhead.
Ruth is feeling better. Oh, my headache is gone.
Ruth's in the car. I don't know what her deal is. That's my husband. That's what he'd do. She told you she was sick. She didn't act sick. She ran the car.
Looks just fine to me.
Yeah, this guy. Go there. Take a look. So Sammy and Annie came out to see Ruth, and she introduced them to Lucille Moore. Although nothing was said that night, it seems the jealous Annie and Sammy were none too happy that Ruth had introduced Lucy to Hollering.
Okay, so now
the lesbians are jealous.
I'll tell you what, it ain't nothing scarier than a jealous, angry lesbian.
Yeah. Fighting over a man.
Fighting over a man.
Right.
And you know what? The colonel has had that. Situation the colonel tries to stay out of.
You haven't had that.
Ever. The colonel might have the magnetic thing, whatever, but...
I try to push the
lesbians. I try to let them know up front, this just ain't going to work. I don't get involved. And I ain't got nothing against lesbians. I love lesbians.
Lesbians and love lesbian porn.
Well, I ain't going to get all crazy on the show here and talk about my strangeness, but I do try to discourage lesbians from, unless, I need to flip them.
Are you
going to
hit this sometime? I mean,
I'm just saying that sometimes a woman will leave
her. You got to be careful with people's affections, is what you're saying.
And lesbians can be crazy.
Yeah. None of this is anywhere near the truth. Okay. But okay, so The next night, Ruth was again invited to Annie and Sammy's to play bridge.
Well, they're pretty friendly to her, considering she's introducing her to that hoe, Lori, or whatever her name is.
Well, so, yeah, I don't know what's going on. But they're going to play bridge with another friend, but again, Ruth declines and says she has too much work to do. She changed her mind later and went over, and the other friend was just leaving. So, all of a sudden, Andy and Sammy want to get possessive. Well, and they want to know how Jack knew Lucy Moore, and Ruth told them that she'd introduce them, and that started an argument. They threatened to tell Jack that Ruth had introduced him to a woman that had VD.
Oh, my God. She had the venereal disease.
So he's gonna be the happy clap.
Well, yeah, he is. And here's the other thing. Happy Jack doesn't seem to be very discriminating, so I'm not sure that that's a deterrent.
Well, that's true. That's true.
So,
you know, probably not, you know.
But
you know, the free clinic, VD clinic, that's a hell of a place to pick up women.
I don't believe that they could cure the clap back then, could they?
I don't know. Give penicillin?
Well, I don't.
Did they have penicillin yet?
Here's the thing. Ruth is the one that told them that Lucy had the VD.
Yeah, we don't, and we want to say clearly, we cannot confirm that she had any sort of venereal disease.
No, Ruth told them that they couldn't tell because it was confidential information, HIPAA laws.
Oh, they didn't have HIPAA then, but it's confidential.
Yeah, it's HIPAA.
But somehow they knew that she had, you know, that she had burning
pee. Well,
Ruth
told them. Yeah.
All right, Ruth.
Well, and I think when she went to the bathroom and you heard, every time she had pee,
and
women pee a lot.
They did tell him. Well, and if they did tell him, Ruth was going to tell the doctors that Annie and Sammy were lesbians.
Ah, so she's playing the old
lesbian card. She's playing that
nice
card.
Nice.
Let's see. She went into the kitchen and turned around to find Sammy standing there with a gun pointed at her and shouting that she better not tell anyone anything bad about Annie. According to Ruth, they struggled with the gun, and Annie started hitting Ruth with an ironing board.
That's probably when there was ironing
big
board.
Ones.
Yeah, it wasn't the, yeah.
Don't bring an ironing board to a gunfight.
No. Yeah. You know what, though? I bet you could use it as a shield.
But you know what? You only have to connect one time.
That's true. Let's see. According to Ruth, the ironing board. Okay, at first, Ruth was shot in the hand as she grabbed the gun barrel. After struggling and fighting for the gun, she said it went off and killed Sammy. As Annie came at her again, she struggled to get up, and she shot Annie, too.
So she shot both of them.
Oh, she shot them both. Then, in a panic, she put the bodies in a trunk. The next day, she had the trunk taken to her home. It was too heavy to be shipped. She said she
wanted... How's she going to ship it to?
Well, just send that shit out of country. She said she wanted to ship the body to the coast and get her little brother to help her dump the bodies in the ocean. She had it shipped to California, but by now it was smelling.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like it was well thought out.
She wants to get on a train and get out to California.
You got to fill, and listen, as you got to fill up the little trunk with lime.
Is that how you do it?
Lime will absorb the smell. It
I don't think it was well thought out. Her little plan there was well thought out. So she gets in this domestic dispute.
Okay, so it was too heavy to be locally shipped. Like, no place would pick it up for local shipment to her house. So she had to get it out to her home. Then she decides, you know what, I'm taking this thing out to California. I'll have my brother help me. So
throw
she's
it in the
just,
ocean.
Yeah, so she's just going to get on an Amtrak with this bad boy. She can't ship it. Raises too many questions. She can't, whatever. So... By now, though, she's waited long enough that the bodies have started to smell.
Put off tomorrow what you can do today.
Well, and a baggage handler brought it to the attention of the steward handling the baggage at the train station. The baggage handler suspected the bags contained a dead deer, which was illegal to transport, obviously.
Well, you can't just be dragging dead deer around all the time.
You have to buy a ticket.
Well, sure. Yeah, clearly. The railway employee inspected the bags further and saw blood seeping through the luggage.
Oh.
Really not thought through.
No.
As for Judd, she claimed she didn't have the keys to open. I can't open the trunks. I don't have the keys.
Well,
that's
probably a smart move. I mean, what's she going to do? She's going to open it and they're going to see the dead bodies.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Who's going to buy? You're traveling with this trunk. This is your luggage.
I think I would
out to California, and she's going to go, I don't have the keys.
You know
to
what?
That.
I think I would have said, yeah, you're right. There's a dead deer in there. Let me get this thing out of here.
Yeah, something.
I think I would have just got off at the next stop.
Which is kind of what she did, isn't it?
So, well, hold on. So she claimed she didn't have the keys to open the trunk on her, and she left the scene.
She was hoping they'd just send it on anyway.
She met up with her brother, and according to police interviews with him, asked him to come get the trunks and then dispose of them in the ocean for her. That's a hell of a brother. Casey would not do that for me.
No, I don't blame him.
The railroad worker reported the suspicious baggage to the police, and the police picked the locks on the trunks. When it was opened, they were shocked to see Annie and Sammy's body parts. Judd's other luggage contained a .24 caliber Colt pistol, and they put out an APB for Ruth's arrest.
So she chopped them up to put them in the trunk?
I don't think so. I think she just kind of folded them.
I think she chopped off the arms, I think.
Yeah, she chopped off the arms.
Yeah.
That's why there's the torso people.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
because they wouldn't fit.
They couldn't have been very big, though. I mean, that would be a huge-ass trunk if you're
trying to put two bodies. Well, I don't know. It might have been big lesbians.
What? Two colonel bodies.
That's true.
Well, yeah, it couldn't have been two colonel bodies.
I mean,
he's portly.
Clearly.
Your people are starting to become hurtful.
So, Colonel, what happens next?
I don't know because it's still my turn.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Why don't we just skip what happens next and go right to the sentencing?
I don't understand why he wants to do that. I've been entertaining today. I've been so tired.
You have been.
So, she remains wandering around for several days. She should have hooked up with her husband.
Or Happy Jack.
She should have done. Well, I think Happy Jack's kind of irritated with her right now. She took away part of the harem.
Yeah, he just lost two.
Let's be honest. Yeah. So she remained at large for several days, but she gave herself up on October 23rd, and she was sent back to Arizona for the trial that would become the talk of the nation, beginning in January of 1932. Almost from the beginning, people suspected there was more to the case. It's possible that Jack Haller was involved either in the murders themselves or the cover-up afterwards and the dismembering of the bodies.
So they thought Happy Jack might be in.
Yeah, but Happy Jack doesn't seem. Happy people don't dismember people.
Yeah, you never know.
No.
You don't run into.
Maybe that's why he's happy.
So prosecutors said that she entered the residence while the two slept and shot him in cold blood. For her part, Judd had several slight variations of the story of what happened that night on tap over the course of the trial, although she never took the stand to give her testimony under oath. The central theme of all the tales was that on the night in question, she was attacked and only fired her gun in self-defense. Although why she had a gun on her all the time was never clear.
Well, you never know.
Well, what did I tell you listeners last time? Yeah, arm yourselves all the time.
Yeah, you never know when they...
She also always stated that Happy Jack had supposedly entered the mix and took control of the situation for her, assuring her that as long as she did exactly what he told her, he'd use his considerable influence
from his wang,
his lumberyard dealings, and his wang to make sure that she didn't go to jail.
That Happy Jack with the big wang had a lumberyard because he was swinging a lot of wood.
Here's the thing. I mean, I get that it's back in the 30s or whatever, but his considerable influence. You own a lumberyard in Phoenix.
Well,
let's not.
Because it ain't easy to find trees in Phoenix.
That's true.
Ain't no trees growing in Phoenix.
But he's not really going to have that much influence in California.
It's not like he's J.P. Morgan or anything.
No. I mean, he owns an 84 lumber.
Apparently, he got to Knotty Pine.
Banging half the city. Yeah. So,
well, yeah.
As long as he's happy.
With the amount of nailing Happy Jack was doing, it's appropriate he was in lumber.
Let's see. She also stated that he called a friend who was a doctor, probably her husband, to chop up the bodies and send her on her way to L.A. to dispose of them. Of course, why such a doctor would help in the first place and why Holleran would suggest bringing in a witness to the fact that he was helping a murderer dispose of bodies, again, was not made clear.
Well, I know a doctor who would do it for a little morphine.
Yeah.
Shit, the devil do it for half a diet for a Coke and something. Never mind, devil. You're looking at me real scary there.
So if he was really helping her, it would have been much easier and safer to take her in his car out to the desert. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a plan.
That seems like a better plan to me. She did this on her own. Still not an ideal scenario, but still would have been better than what she claimed. Nevertheless, when details of Judd and Holleran's relationship got out, He was going to be tried as an accessory to murder, but the charges were eventually dropped as the judge concluded any attempt to prosecute him would be an idle gesture.
So the charges were dropped against Happy Jack.
Yes.
Happy Jack.
This, Happy Jack despite walked. The rumor that Halloran's car had been seen at the apartment on the night in question.
Yeah, but he was probably over all the time banging him. So
well, yeah, I would think so.
Well, I mean, at least three nights a week.
Yeah.
This led many to wonder if Judd was being sacrificed to spare the well-connected Halloran, who insisted that Judd's tale was the story of an insane person. In 1932, Ruth was convicted of the murder of the two women. Her parents and husband, Dr. Judd, stood by her through it all. She was sentenced to death by hanging. As for Judd, she stated, "I'm going to be hanged for something Jack Halloran is responsible for. I'm convicted of murder, but I shot in self-defense. Jack Halloran removed every bit of evidence. He is responsible for me going through all this. He is guilty of anything I am guilty of."
Well, and she was guilty.
She was.
And Happy Jack, the only thing he was guilty of is...
I think she scorned.
Well, and as you know, being the king, being the queen of the underground, you know, where through the River Styx flows,
mm-hmm.
Your place has no fury like a woman scorned, the devil. Right?
I always say hell has no fury like a woman. Hell hath no fury like a woman. You can leave off the scorn part.
Well, you can, because you got a hungry woman,
yeah,
an angry woman, a jealous woman,
happy
a
scorned
woman, a happy woman, a yeah. PMS woman, for God's sake. I'd rather walk through the fires of hell. But anyway, we're getting off subject again, ain't we?
Wow.
Let me see. What happened to the poor girl here now? She crazy. She batshit crazy.
Was she hanged?
No.
Well, in the end, the jury found her and her alone. Her alone. Happy Jack. Tripod, well, Mr. Tripod, he
Happy
walked
Jack
away.
Used his, yeah, Happy Jack
he used
all his,
considerable influence.
Yeah, he probably was winking at the jury.
Well, he's probably sitting there by his wife, just all taken aback, clutching the pearls. I can't believe this story.
I think he was sitting at the winking at jurors and
flirting and swinging
his wang.
You think they saw his wang and said, no way.
Yeah.
In the end, the jury found her and her alone guilty and sentenced her to hang. Because they said Mr. Happy Jack is already well hanged.
Yes.
So it was just her. Now, days before her scheduled execution in 1933, she was declared insane, sent to the Arizona State Insane Asylum. Now, Timmy, you know all about that one. Have you been to the one in Arizona?
Right next to Happy Jack's Lumberyard.
Yeah,
I've spent some time there. So they don't hang her.
They don't hang her. They send her to the crazy bin.
Mm-hmm.
And now during her several decades there, she managed to escape.
Several decades?
Seven times
this woman
escaped.
Yeah,
and listen to this. She escaped seven times. Now when she's not escaping... She was a model patient.
And except for that one little thing. That escaping thing.
She was there.
Except that escaping.
When she was there, people liked her.
Yeah.
Now, here we go. The last time she escaped was in 1962, and she went missing for 6.5 years before being captured again. Now, during this time, she lived under the alias of Marion Lane, working as a nanny for a wealthy family. The police caught up with her in 1969. And she began some legal proceedings to reopen the case. In December of 71, the Arizona governor, Jack Williams, was like, you know what, just fuck it. I give up. I surrender.
We can't keep her.
We can't keep her. And he gave her a pardon. He was like, just don't chop up nobody. If I let you, it's like you're talking to your kids. I'm going to give you a break this time.
They probably got tired of trying to track her down.
I know, David. So,
well, and she's how old now? I mean, that's 30 years later.
She lived to be like 95, I think.
Yeah,
so this is in 71, so...
93. She lived to be 93.
She was probably about 67 about this time.
Yeah, I mean, what's the point?
So she gets released. She goes to California. She lives as Marion Lane. She lives in Stockton with a dog, Skeeter.
Well, everybody should have a dog, Skeeter.
Yeah.
Now, she died peacefully in her sleep at the age of 93. On October 23rd, 1998.
But the story does not end there.
The story does not end there. Now, Happy Jack, it don't get too happy for Happy now. He got fired by his signing partners.
Eventually, he's going to lose the use of his wing.
Well, and just this scandal, his silent partners fired him from the lumber business.
Can you do that?
Yeah. He disappeared into oblivion. Dr. Judd, he died.
He took his wang and
went home.
And Dr. Judd did what happened? What happened to the doctor?
Dr. Judd, he just died. You know, he was a morphine addict. He was about 85 years old.
He's a crackhead. He probably died in an alley.
Yeah.
Now her parents moved to the area so they could be with her, but her father had a stroke. Now, Mama lived a long, long time, and she ended up eventually being put in the same asylum as Ruth when she became senile, and then Ruth was going to visit her Mama. But that's not the end of the story.
She's senile from old age, and they put her in the nooney bed.
Yeah, probably back in the day. That's what they.
I hate that.
Yeah.
Where are you supposed to put them? You let them wander around the street and walk into traffic. You make you late for work.
What's thinning of the herd?
Well, yeah.
Well,
that's what I'm saying.
Now they put you on an Alzheimer's ward. I mean, it was just, it's about the same.
Ain't nobody want to run over an old lady on your way to work.
Yeah.
Okay. Thinning of the herd.
They wander through the. So, but you would think that story ends there. It don't end there.
No.
Dear listeners, there's more to this, and the Colonel about to enlighten you.
Thank you.
Thank God.
After nearly a century of rampant speculation, a bunch of books and articles was written about this case. It would seem that perhaps the truth would just never come out. Was Happy Jack involved? Was he not involved? Did he do it? Did he not do it?
How big was his wang?
How big was his wang?
His wang.
So in 2002, a 19-page confession letter written in Judd's own hand from all the way back in April of 1933 was donated and added to the Arizona State Archives.
So they had a confession from her.
They did. And I'll tell you how they got it.
Mm-hmm.
They beat her with a rubber hose.
No, they did.
They took
not.
Her back. They waterboarded
rubber wang.
Her. She back in 1933.
Yeah, evidently, all you got to do is promise her booze, and you can get away with anything.
They still had. Now you got to remember, Dick Cheney was alive in 1933. He was a prosecutor in this case.
No.
He was the prosecutor.
let's get to the real letter.
He took the woman back and waterboarded her until she wrote the letter.
No.
Okay, none of that.
But she did. She did write a letter.
She did write a letter, and it's a written confession. And
you want to read it to us,
please?
Yeah, she described this to a lawyer, the planning and execution. She had originally only intended to kill Annie.
There was intent?
Yeah.
Yeah, she intended to do this ahead of time. Now, according to her confession...
Well, Annie was being a bitch, though.
She did it all by her lonesome every step of the way. And she opens a letter stating, I am writing the absent... Maybe I'll do it in her voice. I'm writing the absolute truth in this case. In full confidence that you will use it as you see fit in your best judgment. Now, the letter continues. Annie was used to the world. I truly was not. Jack was the only man I had gone with since my marriage. I was ashamed of the things I had done. I was a dirty, dirty, skanky little woman.
She
didn't say that. Okay, I could not openly compete with her. I was married.
Well, how could you compete with a lesbian?
She was chewing a carpet. I was not willing to do that.
Yeah, she didn't say that, but go ahead.
Day after day, she lorded over me, always smiling, fresh and sweet, and with the tuna breath, well knowing that she was hurting me with her taunts. Many evenings, Annie would kiss Jack and caress him in my presence.
Oh.
Then after he was gone...
Yeah, see, Annie was a bitch.
That's why Jack was happy.
After Happy Jack were gone, she would gloat over not caring a thing for him, but merely working him for money. These taunts kept me awake. I could not sleep. I cried. I even prayed. I wrote my parents to please come to me. I was losing my mind. Wild ideas was keeping me awake. I took sleeping sedatives, Luminol. I wrote doctors my nerves were breaking. I couldn't eat. I couldn't sleep. I loved Annie still, but those taunts. I would take more medication to quiet my nerves. I cried to get things off my mind, tried to get to sleep. Now, Friday night, I expected Jack, but he did not come. I went to bed. Again, I could not sleep. I got over, went to Annie's house, my brain just a whirling. I was so excited I was panting for breath. Never did I have the slightest dream of hurting Sammy. simply never entered my mind, except to get Annie to stop those taunts so I could sleep. Nothing more did I think of. I took the gun and a knife. How I would do it, I was not sure. But I had no intention of harming Sammy. Jack was as intimate with Sammy as Annie, but Annie's cruel taunts that haunted me. I hid in the house next door. Annie and Sammy returned to the bedroom. They started fornicating in an unnatural way that women do. Okay, I made that up. That would have been a good part to put in there.
Yeah, you piqued my interest there for a minute.
Yeah. After they retired...
Stress the shit's out of control.
After they retired, I went to the back door, laid the knife and my shoes outside the door. That's good thinking right there. Take your shoes off. Then crept in the unlocked door. I sat down on the couch in the same dark room and soon fell to sleep, clutching a gun. I awakened. Sammy had gone to the bathroom. That insane desire, that power to lead me on, I started for Annie. My stomach was turning inside out, really twitching, jumping out of me. Outside, not a tremor, but my stomach jumping like convulsions. I retreated, curled up, and went to sleep again. I went back to sleep once more.
She has a flair for the dramatic, doesn't she?
Really?
Oh, again and again all night. I do not know how many times Sammy kept going to the bathroom because she had the VD. Every time she go to the bathroom, it woke me up with her screaming.
It does not say that. Go back to the real
I started for that bedroom and retreated each time. So exhausted, I immediately went back to sleep. But in the morning, I heard the milkman. Sammy went to the bathroom again. I started to call to her. Tell her I was there. I really did. Then I began shaking inside and remember what I had come to do so this time.
No wonder this thing's 16 pages
I crept past the bathroom door. I shot Annie. It was a low shot. Sammy called. What fell, Annie? I was hurrying past the door. Sammy came out determined to know what was the matter. I was limp. She completely took the gun from my hands. I was non-resistant. I said, Sammy, I am crazy. I have lost my damn mind. Give me that gun and I will blow my brains out right here. She held the gun and said, you get out of here right this minute.
Get on out here.
Then I picked up the knife and went back to her with the knife. As I grabbed for the gun, I stabbed her in the shoulder. The fight with Sammy in that breakfast room door, her own finger on the trigger when the shot went through her chest. Our fight is all about, as I have always related, she shot me through the hand as I grabbed for the gun. The gun jammed. We fell to the floor, struggled. I finally got the gun and shot her in my wild state. I really do not remember where in the head. I pulled Sammy into the bathroom. I cleaned up the floor. I pulled in the trunk from the garage. It was now 6:30 or 7 a.m. I tugged and pulled and finally got Annie into from the bed to the trunk. Now, it doesn't sound possible, but this took about 2 hours. I left for the office. I pulled the trunk with Annie's body into the living room, but the trunk was unlocked. Sammy was on the bathroom floor all day Saturday. This is all that happened that morning. I stayed
That's
in
just
my
that
office.
Morning?
I stayed in my office. Now, this
she went to work.
This you got confessing to, now.
Dedicated.
This serious stuff.
Why
I stayed in my office until
thing?
4.
I think I called
Why can't her. She just say, I did it?
Because you think she'd take a sick day or something.
Yeah.
I think this is a sick day, if you ask me. But I then took the bag home with me, with the gun, knife, pajamas, and dress. I remembered I needed to feed my cat, so I went back to the Second Street house around 6, fed the cat.
Jesus Christ, get
really
to the point,
had nothing
lady.
Definite on my mind, no plans made. I pulled the trunk back into the hall and tried to lift Sammy's body into it, but that was impossible. Sammy had the ice cream ass, and I couldn't get up into the trunk.
Sammy was portly like the colonel.
Yeah. So,
right.
I then got 2 cheap knives from the kitchen and just severed her body into portions I could lift. I was hours doing this, and then inch by inch pulling that trunk back into the living room. The baggage men, after taking the trunk to the truck, informed me that it was too heavy to ship his baggage. I then told them to take the trunk to Brill Street, which they did. I also left the mattress from Annie's bed rolled up right there in front of these baggage men at 2nd Street, blood-soaked in the living room. Now, Sunday at noon, I started to get ready to go to Los Angeles again. I transferred portions of Sammy's body to the smaller trunk and suitcase.
Now, that's the end of that letter. Now, unsurprisingly, her lawyer wasn't too interested in revealing the existence of this letter, let alone its contents, to the court. So what he did, after reading the confession, he put it in a safety deposit box, where it sat until being donated to the Arizona State Archives just about a decade ago. So, case closed. Well, it's been speculated that the confession may have been a carefully made-up version of what really happened. The hypothesis here is that in writing the letter and frequently citing how insane she was, and then subsequently trying to kill herself after writing it, she was just trying to avoid the noose. See, at that time, you couldn't use insanity as a defense unless you actually confessed to the crime in question. Now, of course, trying to kill yourself to avoid being sentenced to death is a peculiar strategy to take, but that's one she took.
So the speculation is that confession was written in a way that would she could claim a...
Well, that's speculation. But she wasn't so successful, so if that was her plan...
Now it would have got her worked out. I think now she would have hanged.
Her final lawyer, Larry Debus, employed up until 1969, he said after reading the letter, it's the first version of the story I've ever read that really matches up with the things she told me privately. So Annie apparently was a little plump, couldn't get anything, but apparently she did it. She chopped them up with two cheap knives. And anybody, if you ever tried to dismember something, I don't know how you do it with cheap knives.
Yeah.
Because you got the gristle and the bone.
Yeah, right. You need
Ginsu knives.
Those kind of knives that you can slice tomatoes.
Yeah.
Cut a pop can. Knives.
You need a slice-o-matic.
Well, a chainsaw help.
Ginsu knives.
Makes a lot of noise, but this time, you know, she don't care about the noise.
Well.
This was a, you know what, noise, this funk. Was, listeners, a tale of just deviant sex, drugs, treachery, fornication.
And there was a lot of fornication and Wang.
And Wang. And, you know, listeners, that never ends well for anybody.
No.
Just stick to one of the vices. Don't mix them all up. If you're just going to the fornication.
Stick to one Wang. I think that's the lesson here.
Yeah. That is the lesson. Stick to one Wang.
If you're doing the fornication, okay. If you're doing the drugs, okay. If you're doing the lesbianism, okay. But when you mix that all up, it's like missing ammonia and what's that stuff that makes ammonia blow up?
Yeah.
Bleach.
Yeah.
Bleach.
Yeah, you gotta be careful because nothing good will come from it.
No, and then you got a big ass trunk with two angry lesbians you're trying to drag around.
You end up with a trunk with two dead lesbians.
Yeah, and that's what it's. Do you have anything to declare when she got the custom? She's like, "Oh, I got two dead angry lesbians in the back."
But it's not a deer.
It's not a deer. Yeah, Do I got to pay extra for the angry lesbians? So,
Brandy, what do you think? What's your final thoughts on Winnie Ruth Judd?
There's no Wang worth all this. That's my final thought. No Wang.
So you would not kill a pair of lesbians over Wang?
I would not. I would not kill.
Will you go on the record stating it?
It's on the record. I just did. Record. Record it. Write it down. I will not kill lesbians over Wang.
Colonel.
And this is where the Colonel, you know, I'm a responsible man to me.
I know. I'm a responsible man. You have a reputation of being very responsible, and you, except for showing up.
And you in your day have been known as quite the Lothario.
I don't know what that means, but thank you.
Anyway, we have to understand our powers
and
control them accordingly.
We have a way with women.
Because, yes, we do. And the magic Wang will make women go crazy.
You got to be careful
you
with the Wang.
You got to be responsible with the Wang. You can't just go flopping the Wang out.
Willy-nilly.
Willy-nilly
Wang flopping.
And that's
that's when you get in trouble, when you're irresponsible with the Wang.
And you know, the Colonel...
You have a Wang. God gave you a Wang. You have a responsibility to use it wisely.
Well, and this is a true story, Timmy. Back in the day... what happened was like in the Catholic Church, a lot of men that realized that they was not interested in women.
They was interested in Wang?
No, they just didn't want to stick out. They would become priests to try to protect themselves, their family, their good name, whatever. Mm-hmm. And you know, that was a way for them to kind of hide, control their impulses, whatever. because they thought it was unnatural. And what the colonel did, the colonel got married at a very young age, Timmy. Mm-hmm. I got married at very young.
This again.
And really, a big part of that reason...
And when is your anniversary, Colonel?
August something, but...
There you go.
The reason for the colonel getting married so young was to keep the Wang under control.
Yeah.
It was to keep the Wang out of the general population.
I gotcha.
And
you want to isolate the Wang.
Isolate the Wang, keep the Wang in control. Yeah. The Wang pretty much, you know, the missus...
Because the Wang has a mind of its own.
It does. It does. And if you don't control it... So what I did was married the missus, and she has full and complete control of it now. And I do not
have to... She lets you use it sometimes? What's the return policy on that?
I do not have to worry about the damage it could potentially do to society.
Right.
Chaos.
You're a very responsible Wang owner.
But it would be chaos if the world was getting, you know... If that Wang was just set loose on the world.
Right. So you got... The lesson here is... Be responsible with the Wang, or you end up with two dead lesbians
in the trunk. And I don't like dead lesbians, because, you know...
Well, it's not even just the lesbians. I wouldn't want any dead bodies in the trunk.
And it's for our new listeners who haven't known. I don't want to offend any lesbians. My dear, just the sweetest girl you ever meet in the whole world. My dear daughter, Sarah, she a lesbian. And...
Very sweet girl.
Very sweet girl, and she's my daughter. I love her.
How do you know?
Sarah.
When? She's very sweet.
She's a very sweet girl. You know, you mind your own business. I keep my daughter away from you. I don't want the devil influence on her.
Well, I'm not a lesbian. I've seen her postings on Facebook. I know she's a very lovely girl. And if she's a daughter of the colonel, then she's a friend of mine.
Exactly. So I hope you... I didn't offend any of the lesbians, although...
Well, they get uncomfortable with all the Wang talk.
They do. They don't like to hear.
I'm kind of getting uncomfortable with all the Wang talk.
But
Wang Chung.
Wang Chung.
Everybody Wang Chung tonight.
Well, that's what they was doing. It was like, hell, what were you going to do tonight, Winnie? Wang Chung tonight.
Okay, Colonel, any final thoughts?
Please.
No, I have no real final thoughts, Timmy. His mind is blank. My mind's blank.
Let's wrap this up then. Where can people find us?
People can find us apparently on the Thinking Sideways page.
Yes, thank you again to our friends at Thinking Sideways.
And I will be looking them up. But you can go.
It's
a
great podcast.
Go to iTunes. Go to History Dweeb. Do a search for us. You'll find it. Please give us your feedback and you rate us.
If you send us a message on Facebook, or if you leave a comment for us, which we would really appreciate. On iTunes, because we're having a hard time getting folks to leave comments, and that's how people find us. So if you could be so kind, we will give you a shout out on the next podcast.
And an 8x10 color autograph picture of the colonel.
And you know what?
What?
They could probably use this particular podcast as a drinking game. So every time we say the word Wang,
that's a good idea.
Somebody takes a shot.
Yes.
And leave us a comment.
Yes, leave us a comment. So find us on Facebook, iTunes,
Stitcher,
Netflix.
Netflix. We will be hosting the next Republican debate.
Nope. It's limited to 2 hours. We're doing the kitty debate.
We're doing the kid table debate.
Yeah.
Well, actually.
It's just Governor Christie debating himself.
I think he's... No, Jindal's still there. We're going to do him.
Okay.
But our rules are going to be that you can... that if a man says something bad about
you... can fight.
You got to slap him in the face.
Yeah, you can fight.
And all of our questions is going to be related to the Wang.
Wang.
Mm, and
roll those drinks.
It's a Wang debate.
And we're going to arm both of the debaters.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
With Wang?
No, with whatever Annie had. A loaded 22.
Nunchucks.
Nunchucks, yeah.
Nunchucks, that would be cool. All right, thank you all for joining us. We'll see you all again next time on History Dweebs. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.